Proverbs 18 and look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And tonight, my text verse is verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And the name of the message is Biblical Friendship. Biblical Friendship. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, we come tonight, and I just pray that please you'd help us. Lord, the world knows so little about what you have described to us as being a friend. Lord, please teach us tonight, and Lord, where we need to change, help us to never tell you no. But Lord, please, I wish for each person in here to have biblical friendships. Teach us, please. Touch our hearts and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you the verse there is verse number 24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. It's a good verse to memorize. Proverbs is such a timeless book. I think it's a book that a teenager ought to read every day. Not the whole book, 31 chapters. But whatever day it is, as far as you should read that chapter in Proverbs, your Proverbs book in your Bible should be very well marked, should be underlined, should be highlighted. Proverbs is timeless in its principles that it teaches us. It's a wonderful, wonderful book of wisdom and how to live. God says here, he's teaching about friendship. The last part of the verse, it says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You should know that person is Jesus. You should. That's what the last part of the verse should mean to you. There is someone who's closer to you than family. There is a friend that you can have that's closer than any blood kin. And that should be the Lord Jesus. But I'm going to focus on the first part of it tonight. One of the greatest relationships in life is that of friendship. You will notice that all other relationships hinge off of your ability to be a friend. My wife and I, when we were dating, actually before we started dating, we became friends first. And friendship is the basis of our marriage relationship. We call each other, she is my best friend. She tells me, you are my best friend. Now, that's just the marriage relationship, but the basis of all other good relationships is friendship. It starts with friendship. One of the greatest misunderstood relationships in life is also that of friendship. A biblical friendship is one of the most positive spiritual encouragers you can have. An unbiblical or backslidden friendship is one of the most negative spiritual destroyers. You will struggle spiritually due to wrong friendships more than any other issue. Pastor after pastor that I've talked to have said, church members, 90% of church members' problems are because of the friends that they choose or don't choose. 90%. That only leaves 10% of other issues. The wrong crowd will kill you. If you do not know how to recognize the wrong crowd, that will destroy you. It will kill you spiritually. The world's friendship is not biblical. Just listen closely. I'll have you turn to some verses here in just a little bit. But James 4 says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. To have a friend, how can you join yourself to someone in fellowship and communion who hates God? Okay, let's not go that far. How can you join yourself to someone and have good communion and interaction with somebody who just doesn't like God? Maybe they don't hate God. They don't have any use for him. God's nice. Yeah. Got it. But he's really an inconvenience to me. You can't. If you're saved, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and you're a born-again child of God, that means you're at this level. You're here, right? You're one of God's children, and they are here. And you can't. It's pretty hard if you choose your friends to where, in other words, whether they're saved or not, that should make a difference to you. Let me tell you why. Let me see your hand for a second. It is hard for me to pull him up to where I am. Here, let me see both your hands. It's hard, right?
But now wait a second. You get the picture, but there's another side of this. How easy is it for him to pull me down? It doesn't take a quarter of the effort, right? Here, grab hold. If I try to stay where I'm at, pull. You can pull. I'm not going to break. He can pull me down a lot faster than I could ever pull him up. So when you choose, thank you. So when you choose your companions, if you aren't careful, if they're lost, they're there and you're here. And normally what happens, they never come up. The only way you can help them is to get them saved. They'll never be able to talk with you about the things of the Lord until you talk to them and get them saved. So until you can bring them up, normally what happens, for you to have a conversation with a lost person, you got to come down here. And you can't stay on a spiritual level. You have to come down to a fleshly level. I wish being saved was more important to people as far as when they choose their friends. When they choose their friends. You see, to have a friendship with the world is to put yourself as an enemy of God. The old statement still holds true. You show me who you spend time with the most, and I'll tell you what type of a person you are. Oh, I don't mind if they use God's name in vain. It ought to offend you. Please don't use my Father's name as a cuss word. Oh, I can say Jesus. Do you mind if I use your Father's name as a cuss word? What's your dad's name? Next time I hit my thumb. Oh, Jim. I know we talk about that, but as far as it should mean something to you. Your friend, that's why God says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, or is at war with God. A biblical friendship is a gift from God. A biblical friendship is supposed to be a deeply spiritual relationship. The friend relationship has Bible guidelines, just like between a pastor and people, between a husband and wife, between parents and children, between a leader and the follower, between man and God, between an employer and an employee. There's relationship guidelines in the Bible for all of those. Like always, Satan comes along and produces an imposter or an imitation, a counterfeit friendship. Friendship was created by God. It has guidelines, qualifications, and expectations, as well as do's and don'ts. If your friendships are not chosen and maintained by God's word, then they aren't right. Please be careful. When the word friend is used in the Bible, it's not always referring to the deep and spiritual Bible relationship that we would call a good friend. For instance, why don't you go to Matthew 22 and look at verse 12. Sometimes the word friend is used as a general salutation or a greeting. Hey, friend, don't know your name. Just know that you're a body there with blood circulating and you're breathing air. Hey, friend. And every once in a while you hear somebody say that. But here in the Bible, in Matthew 22, verse 12, it says, And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. There he used it as a salutation and a greeting. You're in Matthew 22. Go over four more chapters. Go to Matthew 26:50. Sometimes the word friend is used as, hey, buddy, hey, pal. Here, Jesus tells Judas this in this way, right as Judas betrays Jesus. Matthew 26, look at verse number 50. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. So Jesus looks right at Judas and says, friend, buddy, pal. He knew what was going on. But there the word friend is not what you would call, like we read about in Proverbs 18. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Here it is like a title of buddy or pal. Can you go to 1 John chapter 1? 1 John, right back by Revelation. I do want you to see this. 1 John chapter 1. Not John, but 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have friendship with us. And then this little phrase right here, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's 1 John 1:3. Here's what I'd like you, if you were going to write something down or take a few notes, that's fine. But the person you're supposed to be a friend with first is God. And until you make God your friend, you can't have true friendship. Because doesn't it say in the Bible, truly our fellowship is with God. In other words, I have to learn as a Christian, now that I'm saved, I used to be the enemy of God. My sins, God says he's angry with the wicked every day. God used to be angry with me. Then I was reconciled by the blood of Jesus and I was made his friend. Now he's always my friend. Now that I'm saved, he's always my friend, but I'm not always his friend. God is perfect. I'm the one that's flawed. And the first person I need to learn to make my friend is the Lord. He loves me more than I love him. I love that verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When you read 1 John, look, all relationships in life are because of your relationship with God. And anytime your relationships this way go bad, it's because this one is bad. This went bad first.
Well, I just don't know. No, nobody sees. Nobody's getting along with me.
Are you getting along with God?
Well, everybody is.
Everybody's not. Your relationships this way start with your relationship with God. And I'll say it one more time. He's always my friend. I'm not always his friend. I don't do always. I try, but that's part of the Christian life. I'm learning to please him. I'm learning to be his friend. But he's always been mine since I've trusted him as my Savior. And that's not how we think. Jesus is all. He's my friend. It's a good song to sing. Good song to sing. But your friend is, first of all, if you want to have good friendships, the first thing you do is you learn to be a friend to God. He is your friend all the time. James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. For he, Abraham, was called the friend of God. Abraham is one of the men in the Bible with the only title with the friend of God is Abraham. How come he was a friend of God? Because he trusted God. God likes it when I trust him. That makes my friend happy when I depend on him. Moses spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. In other words, it wasn't, oh, thou God of the lily pad and the pond and the tadpole, and oh, thou God of creation and almighty. He spoke to God as a man speaks to his friend. It wasn't nonchalant. It wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't, hey, y'all, what's up? It wasn't street talk. It was devotion and friendship. Moses spoke with God as a man talks with his friend. Lord, it's good to see you. Lord, I've looked so forward to this time today. Lord, I'm concerned about this and that. He spoke with God as a man speaks with his friend. Abraham was a friend of God. Jesus said this. Can you go to John 15, 14? I think it's a verse that you ought to be aware of. John, now Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 15. Look at verse number 14. John 15 and verse 14. So I'm learning, one of the things I'm learning in friendship is before I can have a friendship with you, my friendship with you will go no deeper than my relationship with the Lord. I am no good as a husband when I'm backslidden. That means my love is only surface. The best thing I can do for my wife is love the Lord with all my heart. Because if I love God, I'll love her. Do you understand? My first relation, I cannot, let me say it again. I cannot be a good friend to you when I'm backslidden. Then all I have to offer is the flesh. All I have to offer is things that emotionally make you happy. I cannot spiritually help you. And watch this. You have no better friendships than you are a friend to God. It's a wonderful thought. Look at John 15, verse 14. Ready? Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So if I'm learning friendship, my first friendship that I work on is the Lord. And if I'm going to work on my friendship with the Lord, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Then I need to work at my obedience. If I'm going to be a friend to Christ, I know he's my friend. He's never stopped loving me. He's never stopped being my friend. He's never stopped providing for me. But if I'm going to be his friend, then I need to work at my obedience. My obedience is important, not because of what you think about me, but my obedience should be important because of what I'm trying to be his friend. I'm trying to express my love to him. And you cannot do that outside the Bible. Well, me and Jesus, we just got our own thing going. You don't have anything going with Jesus outside of the Bible. Well, me and Jesus, we just see it differently than you do. I hope you know the Bible better than I do. I hope you do. But you don't have anything going on with God that's outside of the Bible. And if you want to be His friend, you focus on obeying His word. You focus on obeying His word. Very important verse. The question is tonight, because God is always a friend to you, could I ask you this? How much of a friend are you to God? Do you ever think of Him as your friend? Christian, this is one of the basis of relationships. He never leaves you. He's always with you. Tonight, when you leave church, He's still with you. If you're saved, amen. When you lay your head down on your pillow tonight, He's right there. He lives inside of you. Do you ever think about Him as your friend? I know He's your King, He's your Creator, He's your Savior, but do you ever think of Him? He's my friend. He's my friend. That's the basis of other friendships. Number next, the best way to be a friend to someone who's lost is to give them the gospel. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. The best way to be a friend of the lost is to give them the gospel. I can't build a deep spiritual relationship with somebody that doesn't know Christ. They're dead in trespasses and sins. There's no life there. All they have to offer is the flesh. We're going to call the Amish people here, and you know, as soon as the permit comes in, it'll be either this week or next week, and they're going to finish our second roof out here. Ben is one of the nicest men you could ever meet. Hardworking, but he's lost. Saw him in the store the other day with his kid in the car. I said, hey, Ben! He's talking, and I'm not hearing a word he's saying. I thought, this is a hardworking guy. I honestly can say I'd do anything for him, but he's damned to hell. Do you understand that? Do you understand? Everything's fine with the Amish until you start to talk about the Lord. And if they're around anybody that's Amish, they cut you off. Because if they get saved, they have to leave their whole lifestyle. They have to move. When you got saved, you didn't have to move. They can't talk to their brothers and sisters, their parents. They can't talk to anybody again. For him to get saved, it'll cost him everything. But I watch those guys and I think, man, those are some hardworking guys. Man, that's good. Look at them monkeys up there. You know, they skin me up those things and they're, man, good builders. They're lost. They're lost. My heart goes out to them. The best thing there's nothing I wouldn't do for Bill. I want to help him. I offered him, you know, back when we were doing the permits. I said, do you need the money now for your, you know, there's a lot of wood out there. He said, no, we'll take payment when it's finished. I said, if you need money now to at least pay for the material, I said, we'll give you the money for the material. No, it's fine, Pastor. But every time I talk with him, I'm talking with a lost man. He needs to get saved. The best thing you can do for a lost person is lead them to Christ. Show them how simple it is to get saved and show them that they need to place their faith in Christ. The Catholics and their businesses around here, they're normally, if they're successful, they're normally pretty hardworking people. I wouldn't mind saying this. When I went down to Mechanicsville Building Supply and I talked with Red, you know, he was just in a car wreck about a month and a half ago. Somebody hit him on the highway. My heart went out. I was there that morning right after they were sweeping up the mess where some girl was texting and plowed into him. He's in his 60s. He's recovering from that. I stood in Mechanicsville Building Supply and he started saying, well, Rev? Now he calls me Rev when I go in there. Hey, Rev. I say, hey, Red. How's it going, Rev? I said, better than I deserve. He and three of his other men were standing around there. And he said, you know, he said, I just disagree a little bit with the Catholic Church. I said, well, there's a lot they do that's not in the Bible. I said, but salvation is of the Lord. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And one of his workers said, you mean it's not through the church? And I'm not kidding you, for 20 minutes there, I talked with all four of them, and they were just like this. They weren't, don't talk about that. My heart, every time I go in there, my heart goes out to them. They're lost. They need to be saved. They're going, if he dies, he's going to hell forever. And the burning will never stop. The best thing you can do for a lost person is win them to Christ. That's the most important part of the relationship. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. They need to be introduced to that friend that's closer than a brother. Next, you are to be a friend. The key word is be. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to go out and get friends. That's what I hate about Facebook. I'll say it again. I don't like Facebook. I know there's good that's done on it. But when it's about all collecting all these people over here that are your friends, all 350 of them. 350 friends? You ain't got 350 friends. I don't know anybody with 350 friends. Facebook's an ego builder. Instagram's an ego builder. It's for narcissists. And heaven forbid someone unfriend you. You know what I mean? Click. Oh, no. What am I going to do? They unfriended me. Welcome to life. They ought to have the acquaintance list. These are my acquaintances. These aren't my friends. And I'll unacquaintance you. You're to be a friend. Back to our text, Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Every person I've ever met in my life that said, I just don't have any friends. Nobody likes me. Nobody ever. Are you friendly? The Bible teaches you if you want friends, then be friendly. You're never to trust. You're not supposed to go up to anybody and go, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? You're not supposed to seek friends. You're supposed to, if you're going to be someone's friend, then you find out what they want, what they need, how you can help them and encourage them, and you be a friend to them, even if they choose not to be a friend to you. Now, before I do that, I'm going to make sure that things are right. That's why the word friend's a big word. It's not a, I would rather us use acquaintance. When somebody says, is he your friend? Well, I'm a pastor. The men of my church, I want to be their friend. I want to be a friend to them. I want to be an encouragement to them. But I will much get closer to you than I would somebody that's not in church. And it's not because I'm playing favorites. God tells us to be a friend, not to get friends. To get friends is stingy. It's a control issue. How many people do I consider that? And then you get into the, you know, where you're so-and-so's friend, then you can't be my friend and all that immature garbage. Friendship's purpose is so not to have your needs met, but it's for you to meet the needs of someone else. Don't do things for people hoping to get them as your friends. That is an ulterior motive, and it's insincere. A true biblical friend is a gift from God to you. A true biblical friend is someone God brings to you because of their obedience to Proverbs 18:24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. They're trying to be a need meter, and they don't care who meets their needs. And so guess what? That's why true friendship doesn't come from me asking you to be my friend. It's me finding out what you need and how I can help you, and me doing that regardless of what you can do back for me. That is true friendship. That's true friendship. Friendship is this. Let's say this is the Bible, and I want to be God's friend first. So I'm going to stand on the Bible. This is where I stand. And I will find my friends when God brings people to His book to stand on His word also. And when I quit being their friend is when they leave God's word. And I hope if I ever backslide and I choose not to stand anymore, they don't follow me. Don't we teach our kids? Shouldn't we be teaching our kids? If mommy and daddy ever get out of church, we're wrong and you keep going to church. Now, most of the time, the parents win. But if mommy and daddy ever get out of church, going to church is right. Going to church is what you should do. But we don't touch that, you understand? But that's what we should be teaching our kids. If daddy ever says a cuss word, daddy's wrong. Daddy sinned. And daddy owes you an apology. If my first friendship is supposed to be to God, and then out of my friendship to God, I get friends who want to be God's friend. Oh, wow, you want to stand on the Lord with the Lord too? Wow, what's your name? Oh, you didn't come here for me, you came here for the Lord. Well, good to meet you. And I gain my friendships from putting God first. That makes for a true biblical friendship. Listen to this quote. Good verse. Good. It's not a verse in your Bible, but it's a good quote. Happy is the man that has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. And then the happiest is the man who is a friend and who has a friend. You can't make someone be your friend. That's up to them and God. You're unhappy because you're trying to get friends instead of trying to be a friend. I can't control who loves me. I can control who I love. And you live an unhappy life when you're, do you like me? Do you like me? Please like me. Somebody like me. God loves you. You're looking this way for support and acceptance, and you've already got it this way, and you never look up. And instead of your dependence being this way, it's on people. Do you like me? What I'd like to say very lovingly and as kindly as I can, who cares? You can't control who loves you. You can control who you love. And anytime you start doing this, will you be my friend? Will you be my friend? You live an unhappy life because you're trying to get and you're not trying to give. You're not trying to give. Next, what are qualifications of friendship? I think number one, they should be saved. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? I would hope that your first requirement, before I get deeply in a relationship with somebody, and I'm talking about, I don't do this with women, as far as, you know what I mean, in the day and age we live in, my best friend's my wife, but as far as trying to be a friend to the men, my first concern is, are they saved? And if they're not, no, we're not going to see eye to eye until they trust Christ. Second qualification should be this. They shouldn't be worldly, because the friendship of the world is at enmity with God. They've got stuff they think they need to do on Sunday. Church is a hassle. It's in the way. They're not going to see church as important until they get saved. And I know Christians, the church is an inconvenience for them. They got stuff they got to do, you know. That's fine, but there should be requirements. How about this? They should be obeying Jesus in his word. I've already showed you tonight, John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Obedience to the Lord qualifies somebody for a biblical friendship. Here we go. They shouldn't be out of control. Take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 22. They shouldn't be out of control. Now, there are principles in your Bible that God tells you, these are no-nos, but this one right here tells you, don't make friends with this type of a person. Go to Proverbs 22 and look at verse number 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Somebody that is out of control, God says, don't become their friend. Keep a distance. That out of control, the tragedy of their life is that they have a lot of energy that they don't channel and control. That's like lightning. When lightning strikes, you never know where it's going to hit. Be nice if that electricity was harnessed and put into light, but instead, sometimes it causes fires or damage or strikes something. It's out of control. Make no friendship with an angry man. If I could, let's pause just for a second. Girls, I would hope that would be important to you one day when you date. You watch him very carefully. If he loses his temper in public, he'll lose it in private with you and he'll hit you. That's why God says, make no friendship with an angry man. That's why you ought to give him time when you're dating, later on, not now. You give them time and watch how they act under pressure. How do they act when they get frustrated? Watch them. They're like throwing stuff like that. They're doing that in public because they're going to show, they're going to show off and show everybody, I'm a man. If they'll do that in public, they'll hit you in private. Make no friendship with an angry man, lest you get a snare to your soul. Be very careful. Be very careful. I think that goes with looking for a future spouse, and I also think it means in dealing with friendships once you are married. Be very careful with people that you select as friends. How about this? They shouldn't go to Jeremiah chapter 20. Let's just do a few more here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 20. A requirement for friendship should be, before I link my soul to yours, amen. Before I try to get in a deep spiritual relationship, church should be important. I'm not going to link myself to somebody that's going, well, I got better things to do. Jeremiah chapter 20. Let's just read this real quick. Look at verses 1. Jeremiah chapter 20. Look at verse 1. Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who is also chief governor of the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Watch this. Then Pashur smote, or hit, Jeremiah the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Stocks. Put your head here, put your hands here, the board goes over. Smote him, and put him in the stocks. Then watch what happens. It says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. So he left him in there a day. You leave somebody in this position for a day, the pain that they're in once they let the board up, and it's like, I don't care how old they are. It's going to hurt. They've been that way for 24 hours. Then he brings them out. Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor-Missabib. That's some name. Okay, Magor Missabib. Look at verse 4. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah is talking now, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with a sword. I would think, before I become a deep friend with somebody, I'm interested in their salvation, and I'm interested in, do you love your church? Now, if your church is raunchy and not getting people saved and doesn't preach the Bible, okay, I guess, well then, for crying out loud, change churches, amen? Get in a church that's interested in getting people saved. But do you love your church? You don't have to love me. I'm not trying to get, but you shouldn't hate the preacher, amen? There's something wrong with, I just hate his guts. Is he preaching the book? He probably doesn't make you happy every time he preaches, but for crying out loud, you should. Why are you going there if you hate the preacher? Here, a requirement for friendship should be this. Do you love your church? Here, pastor was disloyal to Jeremiah, smote him, put him in the stocks, didn't care, and God said, I'll judge you for that. I'll judge you for that. Be careful. A requirement for friendship. How about this? Understanding this, can you go to Ephesians 4:32? Being friendly and being a friend are not the same. Ephesians 4:32. Being friendly and being a friend are not the same. Watch this. Ephesians 4:32. It's in the New Testament there. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're supposed to be kind to everybody. I'm supposed to help everybody that I come in contact with that has a need. If I see somebody on the side of the road with a flat tire, I'm supposed to help them. They're out of gas. I'm supposed to, hey, can I take your gas can? I'll bring you some gas back. And I take advantage of all that. It doesn't happen very often. It used to happen a lot more. I used to pick up hitchhikers and stuff. I don't find that very often now. And the one guy that walks down here on 235, Brother Colin and I already witnessed to him. He's drunker than Cootie Brown, okay? I'm not kidding you. His eyes are glowing in the dark. He cannot see straight, okay? I just passed him twice last week. I saw him on the road. I was like, well, he's drunk. But I wish, if I didn't know him, I'd stop. I'd stop and I'd ask. But it doesn't happen too much in our area. I'm just trying to tell you, being a friend and being friendly are not the same. I'm supposed to be kind to everybody. I'm supposed to help everybody. But who I call my friends, who I select as my friends, I'm supposed to be very careful about. Can we just go to just one? There's benefits of friendship. Go to Proverbs 27. And we'll probably stay in Proverbs here. And I just got one more verse I want you to see. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. I wish you'd go and do your own Bible study on friendship. I don't want if I don't handle my friendships right, it can destroy me. The friendship of the world is at enmity or at war with God. Please be careful about your friendships. I'll say it again. I'm nice to everybody. But who I let in my inner circle, everybody doesn't get there. I don't want to be influenced by everybody. There are some people, they're a good Christian. I want their influence. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to come in that category. We were in church in Tennessee, and a couple in our church, they had a Down syndrome baby. Broke her heart. It was their first child. They went on and had more. Every time she'd come to church, she was crying, carrying the baby. You know, you can always tell something's wrong. I watched that man, and he said, God has given us this child for a reason. And I said, that man's filled with the Holy Spirit. That man's handling his trials right. I want to be around that man. He's not angry at God. He's not hating God. And I watched him. I hope when I'm tried like he's being tried, I act like him. I pick people like that. I want spiritual people to influence me. I want that help because I need that help. Proverbs 27, verse 17, watch this. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Your countenance is your appearance. And a true biblical friend will make your countenance better. Your what? Your attitude on life. Now, that doesn't make me, it won't make you think good of Washington, okay? You pray for Trump and the battle he's got, and he's got quite a sewer to drain and scrub up there, okay? He's got a mess. It doesn't make, but my countenance, when I'm around good friends, they help me in my life. You should be able to examine yourself. What's your attitude like when they're done? When you leave their presence, do you want to serve God? Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad you're a Christian? Or do you just want to spit because what they were talking about? I've left some people's presence and it's like, whoa. I don't want to spend a lot of time with them. I've been around some people, and they work at iron sharpening iron, just like swords. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I wish you would examine, what are you like when you're done spending time with fill in the blank? Are you better for it? If you're not, then maybe you need to not spend so much time with them. Here's a classic. But their family. You want to do a Bible study on family in the Bible that caused people's spiritual destruction? We'll end the Bible study tonight with one of them. But family's never a reason to destroy yourself. They can. The potential is there. Be careful. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, your appearance, your attitude towards life. How about this? Look at Proverbs 20. You're in Proverbs 27. Look at verse 9. You're in verse 17. Look at verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man by a man's friend by hearty counsel. So your sweetness or your attitude can be helped by biblical counsel. What's biblical counsel? Look, I don't make your decisions for you. As a pastor, when you have a question, I'll show you the Bible and I'll tell you what the Bible says, but I'm not trying to run your life. But when you ask a question, is this right to do? My job just offered me a job in Timbuktu. They're going to give me a car. They're paying for my house. And they said they're going to move me next month. Preacher, what do you think? My first question is going to be, is there a church there that you can go to that's a good Bible-believing church? Well, no, I need to look. Yeah, I'd look before I'd make the decision. So if you get a good pastor, they're going to triple my pay per hour and give me a car and give me a house. I said, and your kids are going to go where to church? If you aren't careful, you'll get what you want and lose what you have. And then you'll lose your family and your kids. There needs to be a good Bible-believing, soul-winning church there that you can go to. And if not, then that's the devil going, come on, get out of church. There's a lot of decisions. I don't make your decisions for you. I just say, but if you ask me, and watch this, can I give some general counsel to the people in our church? If you don't know Bible answers, then don't give advice. I'm amazed at people. They're on their, and it doesn't happen in here. It happened elsewhere. But somebody on their fourth marriage. Well, glad you just got married. Let me tell you some advice here. Let's tell you what. What are you doing counseling young married couples?
Well, I'll just give them a little piece of advice there. Things that.
Zip. Go pray for them. Amen. Don't give them advice. Don't give them advice. Biblical counsel. I do know this. If I'm your friend, I'll always encourage you to do what God wants you to do. I'll never encourage you to do something God wouldn't want you to do. Let's wrap it up this way tonight with 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. This is all the way in the back of your Bible near Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. And watch this. We're not going to have time to go to the one way I thought we would end it tonight. But 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, I think that's important. It's not a capital S, so it's not the Holy Spirit. But believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, capital S, Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should have come, and even now already is it in the world. I wish you could take 1 John chapter 4 verses 1 through 4 and say, look, examine the spirit, this new friendship in your life. Have you looked at it and said, am I a better Christian because of them or am I not? And if it's pulling you down spiritually, then you get out of it. Do you love Jesus more than you did before you met him? Examine what you're like. What is your spirit, small s, like when you leave their presence? And if it's not drawing you closer to Jesus, then what in the world are you doing playing with that? I love the old statement that goes like this. Don't spend longer than 10 minutes talking to anybody on the phone. Because watch what happens to every conversation after the 10-minute mark. Unless it's business and you're planning things out, watch how quickly it goes from talking to then you start talking bad about people. Just keep your conversations short on the phone. Keep you out of the gossip ring. Keep you out of the negative ring. Keeps you out of that. What is your spirit like when you're done talking to them. And if you're not a better Christian, if they're not helping you, there's some people, I can't tell you who to hang around and who not to hang around. I can give you Bible principles on how to handle your friendships. But some of you, okay, as your pastor, I'll let you know this, not all of you. There's some of you, you hang around anybody that likes you, and you're the worst because of it. And your spirituality is going south. You don't pray more, they don't help you. And so I watch you self-destruct. That's part of the reason the sermon tonight. Tonight I'm trying to prevent some problems. Because there's a few people, amen, and if the dog's barking, throw a log at it. Amen. If the chain's rattling, if the barn's on fire, put some water on it. I'm just telling you, there's some of you, the way you choose friends, you never analyze yourself after the relationship. And then you go down spiritually. So I get the privilege of your pastor of watching you self-destruct. Attitude gets worse. You care less and less about your emotions. And I watch you change because of the people you're letting influence you. Be careful. I'm no different. I have to have guidelines on my relationships like everybody. And if I get loose, if I want to just, hey, they're having a pastor's convention up here, breakfast, everybody, I'm not sitting down and eating with a person that's lost. He's Catholic, he's Lutheran, he's a Mormon, he's Jehovah's Witness, he's rockabilly, non-denominational. I'm not doing that. Hey, do you want to come to the pastor, the minister's association? No, I don't. My schedule's full. Don't you want to be around other pastors? Not unless they're a King James Bible soul winner, and not unless they're Baptist. Because if they're not Baptist, something's wrong. Now, if they want my help, I'll be a help. But no, I'm not looking to run with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Me and Jesus keeps my plate full. Amen. Now, if there comes other people, there's some pastors I praise God for in the area, but I don't run with everybody. And if there wasn't anybody in the area, I don't need anybody. I need the Lord. He's always been my friend, and I'm learning to be His friend. Biblical friendship. Let's pray. Father, please help us tonight.